Praise God. Today is September 6th, 2020. First off, I want to say hello to everyone that's listening online that's not here. Let you know that you are loved and missed. I wrote down a bunch of names earlier, but in the interest of not missing somebody, you know who you are. But I want to talk this morning about being kind and nice. If you take a look at the front of the bulletin and the picture that Rich will put up online with the message, this picture here is more of a nice versus kind. Nice people never want to rock the boat. Kind people are willing to make waves. Nice people are most concerned about not upsetting someone. Kind people are most concerned with doing what is right. Nice people are afraid to speak up when they witness unkind behavior. Kind people are willing to speak up and take a stand. Nice people worry about being liked. Kind people worry about being kind. And there was a lot of different pictures and different things along this same line. But I think we can be nice and kind. But it's important that we get the order right. Because, remember, I'm a semantics guy. So I think words mean something. I think it's very important that... the coloring book. Hang on just a moment. We've got coloring books back there if you'd like them for the kids. Praise God. Yeah, there you go. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm back. So I think it's very important that we get the order right. If our focus is on being nice, then we're concerned about how we're perceived by other people. We're concerned about, like this says, not rocking the boat, not upsetting anyone. And when you say nice and kind, then our focus is on the nice part. And the nice people, if that's their focus, are focused on getting along, focused on not stirring up anything. You know, sometimes it's better just to keep your mouth shut. You've heard this. Any of us having raised kids, or for that matter, having tried training a puppy. Tell a puppy, gentle, be nice, or am I the only one? Right? Focus on that. Focus on the behavior that's going to get you in trouble versus someone who is kind. If we are kind, then we want the best for somebody, even though it might be painful a little bit. You know, a kind person will rip the Band-Aid off. A nice person will maybe soak it for several days while the infection gets worse. I've done both. Neither is a good plan. Neither is pleasant. But I want to talk about that. If we focus on being kind with a sub thought of being nice, then we are kind, but we also try to be gentle as we're being kind. We're not just, this is good for you and you're going to do it my way. Maybe there's another way of saying it. Maybe you've heard the saying, I know it's been around for quite a while. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So it talks about building relationships and reaching out to people. So when we talk about being kind and nice, I want to start first off with Galatians 6, beginning with verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. It says, if you see somebody that's struggling, go to them, but make sure the way you go to them is in humility. Make sure the way you go to them is in gentleness. Make sure the way you go to them is recognizing that I could stumble myself. I'm not better than anybody else, but here is an area that maybe I have a little better understanding. And I can approach that and come with grace and mercy, knowing that God is the one who's keeping me, and God also wants to work in them as well. That I'm not coming to you because I've got it all together, because I don't have it all together. But I'm coming to you because I know that the God who is gracious and loving and is working in me wants to work in you too. And it's a whole different attitude. It's a whole different concept. When we go to somebody with that in mind, we are gentle. We are kind in a nice way. Praise God. As opposed to being nice and maybe forgetting the kindness part. You know, I just want to go be gentle so I never really get around to the things that are important. No, I want to go discuss the things that are important, but in such a way that it shows grace and mercy. So that's why I said be kind and nice rather than nice and kind. In Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 25, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. That's always something important to remember in this. He's talking to the church, and he says, therefore, putting away lying, starting with the church, stop lying. Okay, let each one speak the truth with his neighbor. You know, there's lies by omission, too. Not just commission, but omission. Not saying things that are important to be said is lying. Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And he's still talking to the church. He says, be angry. Just don't sin doing it. Address things that have to be addressed, but do it in a way that is gentle and doesn't stir up the strife and turmoil. Don't allow speaking the truth to become an excuse for venting at somebody or become an excuse for forgetting to be kind and forgetting to be gentle. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You ever think about that as also being part of the problem? Is we don't address things when they come up. We let the sun go down on our wrath. We stay angry. And then, you know, the next day, oh, I should have said something, but I didn't, and now it would just seem even worse if I bring it up, but I'm still mad about it. And then the next day, and then the next day, and these things begin to fester. That's why it talks about a root of bitterness springing up, troubling you, and many become defiled by it. Get these things out, discuss things. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Right in the middle of that. Again, talking to the church. Talking to the church, he says, put away lying. Talking to the church, he says, be angry but don't sin. Talking to the church, he says, don't let your anger carry over. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Or give place to the devil, which is allowing that to fester in us. Allowing it to be harbored in our hearts. Still to the church, I love this. Let him who stole steal no more. Stop that. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Still to the church, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Paul is saying, be nice in a kind way. Say the things that need to be said, but be real careful how we say it. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's, think about what it is that you're saying. Is it going to bring grace? Is it going to be something that can be received? Because if we're just, you know, declaring truths and have absolutely no care about how it comes across, then we become a stumbling block and an obstacle rather than, can I be gracious? Can I be kind in a nice way? Can I share the truth in a way that's not going to alienate people, that's not going to make them throw up walls of defense? Or do I have to come out and start the conversation with, you're wrong? Doesn't help. It really doesn't help. But people do it all the time. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Again, talking to the church. Do you ever stop to think that the way we interact with other people offends God, grieves the Holy Spirit? Because God loves them as much as He loves us. You know, I mean, I've seen the shirt. I don't have it. I wouldn't buy it, but I've seen the shirt that says, Jesus loves you, but I'm His favorite. You know, I don't think I'm His favorite, but I'm amazed that He loves me and He's at work in me, that He uses me. I'm amazed by that because in spite of me, He is gracious through this earthly vessel. And I praise God for that. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church then. He's talking to the church today. These are still problems. We have people under the former pastor, I will say that, not to say anything against the former pastor, just to get a time frame. We have people that were upset that we put the signs on the wall. The signs with scriptures. There were people that were upset and left the church because the molding around the windows got painted. There are people arguing about what color to make the carpet. I don't understand these things. It grieves my heart that people in church do that. You hear about people that get offended and walk out of churches. We've seen it here. People get upset. This is the church was built in 1929, and three times in its history it's been up to 50 people. And then things happen and been down to 4. God is still at work, though. God is still here. And God is calling people. Put these things away from you. Just as Paul said it way back then, it is still to the church today. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. God has forgiven us. How can we hold a grudge against anybody else? God has forgiven us. How can we not try to reach out to people? We are called to be lights in the midst of the darkness. And if we can't even be lights to our brothers and sisters, how in the world can we be a light to the people around us? In Romans 12, beginning with verse 9, this is the next passage we're going to read. And I don't know if you ever noticed looking through your Bible, sometimes it has little headings over a different section. And I always get a kick out of this one because Romans 12, beginning with verse 9, the little heading over the top is, behave like a Christian. Straighten up and act right. Beginning with verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor or hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Stop right there for just a minute. Paul telling us how to live, how to walk, how to act. He's saying be kind in a nice way. He says, hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. But be diligent about it, not lagging in diligence. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The way we treat other people reflects how we feel about God. Because if people are made in the image of God, how we treat other people reflect what we really think about God. Many of us don't want to hear that. Many of us don't want to come face to face with that. Starting with me, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm saying that how I act reflects what I think about God. The things I allow in my life reflect how I feel about God. And it may not be what I say, but the action is still there. So we are called to this. We are called to be patient in tribulation, rejoicing in hope, steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We're called to reach out and meet the needs that we can meet and to interact with people in a way that brings grace and brings love and brings mercy and reflects who we, what we really truly believe about God as we go about this, as we go through our lives. This gets down to verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Treat everybody the same. Be of the same mind one toward another. Treat everyone with love. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay to no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It's saying, make an effort, be diligent to show your love of God in your love for other people. To be kind, to show your desire to walk in truth by how you're willing to share that truth. But also recognizing that the grace of God shed abroad in our hearts makes us gracious toward other people. Makes us look for ways that we can share the truth without coming off as offensive, without coming off as a stumbling block. And you're not always able to do that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're always able to do that. You take a look at Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry. Jesus went and he ate with the publicans and sinners. He reached out to people. He was kind to those who were, you know, outcast by the society at large. And the religious leaders abused him and, you know, talked bad about him, falsely accused him of all of these things. Jesus was very strict and very direct with the religious leaders. But he was also very kind and very gentle with those others. He walked and was a light and a example to the people around him, and it impacted their lives. When Jesus, or take the woman taken in adultery, you know, and they wanted to, the religious leaders wanted to stone her. And of course, you know the whole story, but Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, what you did was fine, don't worry about it. He said, it was wrong, don't do that again. You know, where he talks, you know, talks with other people, you know, and it was always the same. Go and sin no more. Don't do that. Stop doing that. You know what the law says. Begin following the law. Begin obeying. Beginning doing the things that you know are the right things to do. He never excused anybody's sin. But he didn't come down heavy and hard. He walked an example of light in front of people, and it impacted their lives. And the only ones whose lives weren't being openly impacted were those who were trying to throw up the barrier, oh, I've got it all together. No, we all need Jesus. I want to talk about a passage of Scripture. We're not going to turn there, but it's a really amazing passage of Scripture, and I'd love for you guys to read it and study it and go over it in your own time. And that's Ezekiel 33. In Ezekiel 33, God talks about putting up, setting a watchman on the wall. If I call somebody to be a watchman on the wall, and they see the enemy coming, and they blow their trumpet, and they warn people, and people don't listen, then the people who don't listen and get overwhelmed by the enemy, they're still going to be overwhelmed, but it's their fault because they were warned. But if the watchman doesn't warn them, The end result for the people is still the same. They're still going to get overwhelmed. But I'm going to require their blood at the hands of the watchman. The watchman had a duty to warn people. And then he goes on and he's talking to Ezekiel. He said, I have called you to be a watchman on the wall. I have called you to warn people. Guess what? We've been called to warn people. We've been called to share the good news with people. We've been called to tell them that, you know, this life is short. This life is full of turmoil. That outside of God, there is no hope. Through Jesus, through His sacrifice, we can stand before a holy God with our sins forgiven, sins debt paid for. If we stand before God without having the relationship with Jesus, then, you know, we don't have anyone to pay for our sins but us. So we're called to share that word. We're called to do it, but we're also called to do it in a way that lets them know that we care for them. Lets them know that we understand struggle. Considering ourselves, you know, what we read. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We can do that. We can be kind in a nice way. Rather than be nice and focus on not offending anybody or not sharing anything to the point where we neglect actually sharing the truth. So we're called as watchmen on the wall, just as Ezekiel was. We are called to this generation. If God knit us together in our mother's womb, knows our end from the beginning, if you can go through the scripture and you take a look at the genealogy of Jesus, all those things that came into place for Jesus to come. Scripture says Jesus came in the fullness of time. Knew exactly who was going to be around at the time, knew exactly how the word wanted to get out, began changing the world by showing his love to the people and showing the righteousness of God, fulfilling the law, all of those things that Jesus accomplished, and began sharing the word through the apostles and going out and lives being touched and changed. If God did all of that in the fullness of time, and he's been paying attention to our life as well, we're not here as a mistake. We're not here in the wrong time. We're not here in the wrong circumstances. And that means that the people that we encounter are people that God's brought across our path for whatever reason. We may not know why. We may not know exactly what kind word we're supposed to say or exactly what our part's going to be in touching them. But keep in mind, we have that one day I will know even as also I am known. One day I'm going to have these answers. But for right now, I'm called to be a light in the midst of darkness. I am called to show the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ by walking out this life and in the people that I interact with, the people that you interact with. We're called to be watchmen on the walls. In 1 Samuel 12, beginning with verse 20, what has just happened here is they've anointed Saul to be king. The people have demanded a king, and Saul has been anointed. And Samuel's talking to the people. And he says, just to let you know, you've rejected God. God wanted to be the ruler over you. You insisted on being like everybody else, and you're going to have problems because of it. So as he's done that, the people says, oh, we've sinned. What do we do now? Real short version. So beginning with verse 20, then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you will still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Did you notice what he said in here? I tried telling you. I told you that God wanted to be the ruler over you. You insisted on having a king. He made it plain to them. And the people said, oh, don't desert us. And he said, I'm not going to sin against God by not praying for you. I am still going to do what God put me here to do, whether you listen to me or not. I am still going to lift you up in prayer, whether you want me to or not. I'm going to still declare what's right, whether you want me to or not. Because that's how I serve and that's how I worship my God. Each and every one of us, we have people in our path, whether they'll listen to us or not, whether they want to be around us or not. People that God has put on our hearts. And we can't sin against God by failing to pray for them. We can't sin against God by failing to show kindness, to show what is right. Final passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 1. Says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul says, don't stop telling them. Don't stop encouraging them. Don't stop lifting them up. They're going to have things they want to hear much more than they want to hear you. That doesn't change your job. That doesn't change my job. My job is to tell people about Jesus, whether they want to listen or not. But if I start it with telling them they're wrong, there's no door for opportunity. We need to learn how to show grace and mercy in the things we do, how to recognize that God has shown His grace and mercy in our hearts. And just from a point of humility and a point of grace, share the word with other people. It's the New King James. King James says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all unsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and be turned away from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. The word of God has to be inside of us so that it can come out. If we don't get it inside, how can we share it with other people? If we don't allow it to change us, how can it flow through us? If we don't allow the Spirit of God to teach us each and every day, how can we show His love and grace to the people we encounter? If God's Word doesn't change us on the inside, then all we can do is be nice. Or all we can do is be an offense. It's only when we allow God's Word to work in us that we can be kind and share the truth in a nice way that will allow the barriers to come down, allow the borders and allow the obstacles to come down. Because the grace of God working through us will touch and change people's hearts. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You're at work in us, touching us and changing us and molding us and just making us vessels fit for the Master's use. That You're at work each and every day, in each and every moment, directing us, guiding us, leading us. We thank You, Father, that You're the one who directs our steps, that You're the one who is able to make us to stand because You are the one who lifts us up. That You who began the good work in us are faithful to complete it. That those things that we have committed to You, You are faithful to keep until the day of judgment. And we give praise and thanks for all that You have done and all You continue to do in us. For we know, Lord, that all of Your ways are right. Help us, Lord, to be lights in the midst of the darkness. Help us, Father, to be grace and mercy to the people we encounter. Help us, Lord, to show Your love in everything we do. We give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.